This podcast was recorded in April 2016 on a rainy night in the Northeast.
Welcome to Helpful Social Work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you learn, think, and act with integrity so that people who need social work get help that will transform their lives. I'm Jo.
And I'm Jerry. And we've just finished recording about busyness and purposeful practice. So we're going to attempt to be very purposeful in this chat, I suppose.
Yes. And we, as Jerry would have, as we talked about earlier, we've actually been teaching together today. And we had an opportunity, didn't we, to talk to a group of managers, social workers and social care staff about the stories that they carried around about the helpfulness of their work and about the helpfulness of the social work profession. And this is something I'm particularly interested in.
Yes, yeah, so we thought we would have a conversation about stories and see where that takes us, really. So the exercise that we did with managers today was introduced by you, Jo, by thinking about the kind of narratives and tales and myths about social work that we commonly hear, and the challenge really of not only not buying into those ones that are unhelpful, but also of creating our own stories that are helpful, and doing that not for kind of glory, but so that people that we need, who need to see us and perceive us as helpful, will be able to do so. And we'll be able to feel confident in being helpful.
And also that we see ourselves as helpful. One of the really important things for me is how we manage to model mature adult functioning to the people around us, the people we work with. And we're really wanting to demonstrate resilience in the face of difficulties. And one of the things that often worries me is how quick we can be to embrace stories of social workers as victims, for want of a better word. So of people who are constantly overworked, who are constantly put under pressure, that whole idea of damned if they are, damned if they aren't, that type of approach. And whether that's actually helpful for us professionally. And I guess I would say I don't think it is, and I certainly don't see myself as a victim, and I don't see myself as in a position that I can't think and manage my way out of with support.
And I think there is a tension here between acknowledging the difficulty of the work,
no question,
and actually having a purposeful and aspirational way of thinking about what we're doing. Actually, today you suggested to people that we needed to be realistic and inspired at the same time, and I think that that's quite a helpful, if difficult, balance. That it made me think about the way that the social work task force worked, in that they spent a great deal of time carefully talking to people and really trying to establish what the reality of social work was like. And at the time, as it is now, there was a lot of concern about the volume of work, the systems that people were using, the kind of tools that they had not necessarily being fit for purpose, and the scrutiny and the kind of some of the blame cultures that were around. Yeah. And that was acknowledged fully. And one of the responses that the social work task force had to that was to write a statement about what social work is, which was, I think, really connected to what you're talking about. It was having a vision and a story for what social work can offer, which doesn't deny that it's difficult to do, but gives us something to hang on to and aspire to.
Yeah, and it's that idea, isn't it, that actually resilience can exist in difficult places. And that it's not to say that we want to deny or hide issues like not having enough time, not having enough resources, spending too much time recording things that are not as helpful either to the social work professional or to the people they serve. It's about saying that within that context, we can continue to think and act with helpfulness and purpose and create relationships with families that they actually experience as helpful, and that those two things are not diametrically opposed to each other.
Yes, and it's helping each other not to feel overwhelmed, isn't that? Because if you're overwhelmed, it's very difficult to then go out and offer genuine support to somebody else. And I think what was interesting today was that we were working with a group of people who are very busy and have a lot going on and are in very complex, changing environments. And we were talking to them about a story, and they followed a process, didn't they? Which Joe will talk through in a minute, because I think it's quite helpful. And what they came up with was a story that actually led to a positive view of the future, even though it acknowledged that there were difficulties. So they actually very capably, much more capably than I'm talking about it, put together the reality of the situation with a real sense of purpose and hope for the future, which was very encouraging, actually.
Yes, it was. It was really good to work with a group of practitioners who could articulate exactly what it was that they thought they were helpful and useful for. And it made you think that we were part of a helpful and useful profession, which is what a good story does. And the idea of thinking about crafting stories in social work is, like I said, being able to manage both the difficulties and the possibilities. And so the story acknowledges the past. In the past, this is how things were. Now, for some people, the past story can be one of better times, where everything was rosy, where we were able to just, you know, have free rein and do the work we wanted to do. And for other people, the past can be more complex and more difficult. But either way, something happens in everybody's story. For some people, people talked about change of policy. People talked about bringing in of new systems. People talked about the influences that different parties or different movements might have on them. And the end result was that they could no longer be in the past. They were moved forward to the present day. And when you thought about the past and you think about where you are now, you can also then think about the future. Because of those two things, because of the past and because of where we are now, this is how we want the future to look. This is how we're going to shape the future. This is what we're going to do next. And it's that idea of telling the story of helpfulness as a journey. And as I talk about it, actually, Jerry, what chimes for me is that this is exactly what we try to do in assessment with families.
Yes.
We try to understand where they've been, mm-hmm. what they experienced and what contributed to bringing them to the place they're in now, what now looks like for them, mm-hmm. and how they experience it, and what they value and what they struggle with, and then where they want to be in the future, and how they can take their past experience and their present living and make something different so that they can get to a place they value.
One of the things I liked about the story that people crafted today was that it had the in the past, and so then these things happened, and then the bit about thinking around the future was, so now we're going to do these things in order to achieve whatever. So there's a real active element to that part, that it's not that this story is just happening to us and we're passively being carried along by it, but that we've got a very active role to play in the future. And that is something that we hear nationally, and also personally I hear, and I'm sure Joe does as well, from social workers, that one of the problems is that there isn't a strong positive story about social work. And I think there won't be from other people, actually, realistically. Yeah. It needs to come from us.
It's our story.
And it would be, you know, again, there's sometimes criticism. There's not leaders amongst social work standing up and telling the story. I think people are trying to, actually. I think that is happening. However, we need to be leaders as well, all of us,
yeah.
and try and tell that story for ourselves. And one of the really powerful forms of evidence is individual accounts. Hearing about the difference that social work has made on an individual and personal level really resonates with people and really helps them to understand a profession that's actually quite difficult to explain theoretically. It's much easier to explain it through through stories, through accounts of the way that it's worked with people.
And we must be careful to see, stories are a double-edged sword, aren't they? You want to tell stories that capture the essence of what we do. You want to, if you're a manager, you want to tell a story that will help your team manage the difficulties that they face each day.
And you want children to have a story they can tell about their life that makes sense and is hopeful.
Yeah, and that is positive.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you've also got to realise that if you can, the story you keep telling is a story people will start believing. And this is one of the things that I struggle with in terms of a lot of the stories that are out there. And I'm not talking just about the media as in papers that like to report terrible things about social work. I'm also talking about our own media, where we talk about social workers. One in five social workers say they want to leave their job. Social workers are burning out. Social workers feel they're helpless. It's those types of stories as well that permeate through our own media that actually contribute to how we feel.
Yeah.
And our own belief in our own self-efficacy.
Yeah, negative stories do resonate with us more. They stick with us, don't they? We worry more about dramatically bad events happening to us than we expect dramatically good ones to happen. So, yeah, I think we need to counter myths and also overemphasis on problems by positive stories. Not exaggerating either the good or the bad, but making sure that there is a genuine balance. And also recognising that one of the ways that people learn is from what's gone well. And we don't use that enough, I don't think.
Yeah. And maybe we can end with one of my favourite words, Jerry, that you introduced to me, which is the idea of proportionality, really. The story should be proportionate, and it should represent both the struggle and the triumph that is social work, actually.
Which is everyday life.
Yeah.
So that's a good a good thing to end with. And the question we'd leave you with, I think, is what story are you telling yourself and what story are you telling others about social work? And we hope it will be a positive one.
Thank you very much. It's been nice talking with you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.